Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation. Annex Wealth Management is a local fee-only fiduciary providing investment, retirement, tax, and estate planning. Know the difference. Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Tariffs struck down. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Great to have you here. I'm Joe Kraus, Chief Economic Strategist. Dr. Brian Jacobson is here. Hey, Brian.
Hey, it's great to be here.
And CEO of Annex Wealth Management, Dave Spano.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Big story on Friday morning, the Supreme Court. Everyone's probably heard it by now, but what does it mean for your portfolio now that the Supreme Court says that, at least in its current form, that there can't be tariffs? Brian, you know, I think we're going to see a lot of movement as we get more information.
Yeah, we're going to have to see what the response from the administration actually is, because the Supreme Court ruled that about 60% of the tariffs that have been imposed over the last year under the International Emergency Economic Powers Act weren't really authorized. So the statute, it doesn't allow the president to use tariffs. Now, there were three justices that dissented, and they said, well, you know, the legislation, it says that he can regulate trade, and tariffs are a way of regulating trade. So that was their argument. But the majority said that he can't use tariffs. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have tariffs going forward. For example, steel and aluminum, those fall under a different rule that the president used. Those are called Section 232 tariffs. So they're for specific products or specific sectors. Then there's also these tariffs that are on specific countries, like, you know, the China specific tariffs. So those are like tried and true ways of imposing tariffs. And so President Trump is probably just going to pivot to using those powers instead. Now, the reason why he didn't initially is those take a lot longer, right? There's almost like this public hearing, some findings that have to take place. In terms of getting the tariffs to the levels that he wanted, he resorted to this power that apparently the Supreme Court says, well, nope, sorry, that was a bridge too far. In terms of the effects, companies that actually paid the tariffs at the port, they might be entitled to refunds. That's not up to the Supreme Court. That's really something that's going to be kind of, you know, facts and circumstances specific to those situations. That could play out over the course of like 3 years, where they apply for refunds and then there's a hearing and then it maybe is granted, maybe it isn't. So in terms of tariffs, maybe they're going to go away on certain items for now, but they'll probably just come back in a different form.
Yeah. And so that's really the concern. Number one is it looks like they will come back. It might take time, but Justice Kavanaugh said it's going to be a real mess with significant consequences for the U.S. Treasury to try to refund that. So even though the tariffs may stop, what are you going to do, whatever the estimate is, somewhere between $150 and $300 billion? Are you going to send them back to the retailers? It sure looks like that's not going to happen. And how would you do it? Would it be a tax refund? So it's certainly going to be uncomfortable for a moment. We'll have to get more information. The market, it looks like it had a big yawn with it, though. Like perhaps it was priced in that this information is not new information at all.
Well, that's correct. And that's what the markets move on, is new information. And if it was widely anticipated that this was going to happen, the market doesn't really react that much to it. So we saw a little bit of movement in terms of those companies that import a lot. Their stocks seemed to catch a little bit of a bid afterwards. We did see yields move up a little bit. These weren't huge moves. And I think, as you pointed out, it's because it was expected. You could even see that in some of those prediction markets. You know, what was the probability of the tariffs being struck down? It was pretty high probability of happening anyways. And I think that's a key lesson for investors to remember. News is only news and market moving if it indeed is something that people didn't know ahead of time. If it's widely anticipated, it very rarely moves markets in the long term or even in the short term.
Yeah, new news. So, you know, the other implications that we could have if the argument was correct that tariffs were inflationary, and some economists are arguing it was about 1%, this would mean that inflation would come down, which would give more room for the Federal Reserve to cut rates.
It should. And especially since this past week, we got the information for all of 2025. And so when we look at the Fed's preferred measure of inflation, it's from something called the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index. That showed that inflation was the same in 2025 as it was in 2024. So it's not exactly moving the right direction. It bottomed around about April of 2025, close to about 2%. And then it started moving higher as the year went on. Now it might move lower again. Part of it is if tariffs are inflationary, it is oftentimes what's called a one-off move, even though it doesn't happen all at once. It is just like a change in the price level. It's sort of a glide path higher, but then it can kind of flatten out. So as long as we don't keep increasing the tariff rates, it really should have this temporary effect on inflation. And that's what I think we saw throughout a lot of 2025 was just a readjustment to whatever the new regime is. And my expectation is that, you know, we see service sector inflation drifting lower. Yes, we have seen goods price inflation move higher, but with 70% of consumer spending coming from services, the thing that's really going to move the needle on headline inflation is what is called disinflation, or the slower inflation coming from services and not necessarily the slightly faster inflation we're seeing from goods prices.
So disinflation certainly would mean that the Treasury's and the Federal Reserve's interest rates would go lower. And so we'll have to see if that happens. This is going to be a really big story, I think, next week, because the State of the Union address is next week, and Mr. Trump gets to rail about it in front of the justices that will be in the front row.
Oh, I'm sure that's going to be awkward. And we've seen that before, where during State of the Union addresses, Biden did it, Obama did it, others did it as well. All of a sudden, there's a ruling from the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court justices, they walk in, they're wearing their robes, which I think is a little pretentious, but you know, they wear those to the State of the Union. And then the president has an opportunity to just berate them if he wants to from up by the podium.
And folks, this is really the reason why you need to look at your portfolio. If you haven't gone through a portfolio review lately, this is the time to do it.
Click the Get Started button at annexwealth.com. That's how you can talk to us in person, and we can show you how all of this latest information you're hearing on this show can affect your portfolio. Mock projections, we love to do that for clients at Annex. And another way Annex can help is with our continuing education, and we do it every week. New videos on our social media include if you should sell your physical gold or invest in gold, the new Trump accounts coming in summer. You're going to hear a lot about that. Creating 529 plans for older children, and what happens to your money after you're gone if you don't have an estate plan. It's a whole team who has your best interest in mind on your side at Annex. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Custom-tailored investment and retirement planning from a fee-only fiduciary. Know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Well, tax season is here, and many people are busy collecting documents and preparing to meet with their tax professionals. And with rising preparation costs and kind of a shrinking pool of CPAs, both taxpayers and preparers are leaning on new technology while still relying on human expertise for planning and strategy. This year offers several opportunities for smart tax moves, making it maybe the perfect time to review strategies and make sure your return is working as hard for you as it should. And to help us walk through some of the new strategies and technology is financial planning specialist at Annex Wealth Management, Rebecca Posig. Hey, Rebecca.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Why are tax prep costs rising this year? I mean, we hear about the increased prices for everything, but why tax prep costs?
Well, just like with a lot of things, changing costs can have a lot to do with supply and demand. There are fewer qualified tax preparers out there because many CPAs stepped away from the industry during COVID, and many more are expected to retire within the next few years. It wouldn't be as bad if we had new waves of CPAs coming in, but fewer and fewer people are signing up for the CPA exam, and that could leave us with a real shortage of good tax professionals. Just when taxpayers are looking for higher levels of expertise and planning from their preparers.
That's an interesting point about the COVID effect, but also the AI effect. So we're looking at a lot of new technology. We love technology here at Annex Wealth Management. So what new tech or maybe AI tools are preparers using now?
Yeah, to help account for the shortage of CPAs, you may be seeing tax prep firms implementing new technology. And just one example is online portals. Now you have to answer an electronic questionnaire and send in your documents online. And this is really just to help make sure the process is more efficient for you, the taxpayer, because a lot of your tax documents are sent out to you electronically now. You can opt into that. Now, eventually, we may see more AI resources too, but we're not at that point where AI or software can finish a return on its own, where you just throw your documents into a bot and they have everything done. We still need that human element. We still need good tax preparers who are looking at each person's unique situation.
And I think the word trust comes up a lot, too. If you're throwing a lot of your information or your documents, you're uploading it to a portal and hoping AI does a good job, we want to be able to trust what that is doing. So the human element, very important, like you mentioned. And what action can taxpayers still take before tax day? Because we got a little bit of time and, you know, a lot of times we don't want to cram for the test. But what moves can we make right now that might be a smart strategy for some folks?
Yeah, there are still some moves you can make in your tax garden here for your 2025 taxes. You do still have until tax day, which is April 15th, to make some contributions. That could be to an IRA or a Roth IRA if you're eligible, maybe to your health savings account if you haven't done that yet. And some states even allow you to make a 529 plan contribution for the previous year. So just take a look at those. Talk to your tax preparer.
Might be different from what you filed last year. Maybe some of the situations have changed for you. And let's talk about some of the new tax provisions that might help increase refunds this year.
Yeah, so the One Big Beautiful Act that passed last July included some provisions that may help to reduce tax liabilities. And that's what's leading to some expectations that on average, taxpayers could see larger refunds this year. Now, of course, that depends on each taxpayer's unique circumstances. There's a new deduction specifically for seniors with income under certain limits. They raised the state and local tax deduction. That got a lot of press, but they raised that for many taxpayers who are itemizing or thinking about itemizing. And for those with kids, there was a permanent increase in the child tax credit. And all of these things could lead to kind of a general increase in tax refunds this year.
We love to hear that word, refunds. And can you break down some of the withholding tables when it comes to filing taxes or getting them ready?
Absolutely. On top of some of the favorable tax provisions, when the bill was passed, the tax withholding tables remained the same. So say you're working and you're withholding at a certain rate from your job, from your wages. You're withholding at that same rate throughout the whole year, even though some of those favorable provisions were in effect. So you may have been over withholding a little bit, and you could get that back in the form of a larger refund this spring.
And when you're working with a tax professional here at Annex Wealth Management, I know you've seen a lot of different portfolios and in a lot of different situations. How have you seen tax prep work for the clients of Annex Wealth Management?
Yeah, it's great to have a tax preparer because they're the ones keeping up with all of the changing tax laws on a day-to-day basis. And a good tax preparer, and something that we do here at Annex, is we help you look for tax opportunities. Like if you're eligible for that new senior deduction, or if you have kids going to college, maybe you qualify for one of those tax credits. Or maybe it's better for you to itemize this year because that SALT deduction was expanded. So tax preparers can really help you prune up your garden so you can receive all of the credits and deductions that you're eligible for.
I know you're very busy in the financial planning and tax area at Annex Wealth Management. Financial planning specialist Rebecca Pozick, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks, Joe.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Click that Get Started button at AnnexWealth.com.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk The Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, we've had several in-person events at multiple locations this month, so thank you if you've joined us. And a couple of good ones still coming up, an event on moving in retirement and how to protect your collectibles, antiques, and heirlooms. Keep checking the events page at annexwealth.com. Webinars, too, to keep you informed. In fact, an instant insight on Friday, March 6th. That's coming up soon. We're talking about our March events. That is jobs and the economic outlook, 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern on Friday, March 6th. So about 15 or 20 minutes, you can learn what the new jobs numbers mean for your investments or 401k allocations. We love to take your questions live on that. It's very easy to do. If you get that reminder, you sign up on our events page at annexwealth.com. Dr. Brian Jacobson's going to be on that one as always. And what are you going to be talking about with that?
Well, with that one, it's always fun to dissect what's going on with the labor market. There's so much information in there. So they do two surveys. One is where they ask employers how many people are employed. And the other is they ask households, are you working or not? Okay. And they give different answers sometimes, but you can get a different perspective on the labor market from each one. From employers, you can find out about which industries are expanding and contracting, what's going on with wages. When you're asking households, you can get some additional information. How many people are working multiple jobs? What's going on with the unemployment rate with different age groups as well? And so what we're really looking for is the prime working age population. The way the Bureau of Labor Statistics defines it, so don't yell at me for this, is between the ages of basically 24 and 55. If we can see labor force participation increasing there and the unemployment rate staying low, that's usually a healthy sign for the labor market outlook. So that's a key thing that I'm really looking for.
And when they're taking these polls with the households and the companies, how do we know these numbers are accurate?
Well, they're only as accurate as what samples can be. There's always going to be some room for error. They're not a census, so they're not asking every single household, every single employer. Now, they are on average correct, but any given month, it could be overestimating or underestimating. The problem is that we've seen over time, ever since COVID, people not answering the surveys quite as much. How often do you answer your phone? They send them in the mail. Maybe you just throw it in the circular file, right?
There's no incentive.
There's no incentive. That's one of the things that I would love to see if they did. Maybe offer like a $10 Amazon card or something for filling out the survey.
Ratings companies that do it.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's a lot that the Bureau of Labor Statistics could learn from the private sector about how to do these samples and make it a little bit more effective.
Yeah, very interesting. Financial planning at every level, from Annex Comprehensive Wealth to Annex Private Client to Annex Ignite. 9 total locations, and you can visit one of them. In fact, our Brookfield headquarters, Moving in Retirement. This is Tuesday, March 3rd. Here we are at the end of February. We're ready for a March 3rd event, 6 p.m. at our Brookfield headquarters. If you're considering moving before or in retirement, learn several key points to consider maybe before you make that move. Glad you're here with us this morning. Time for news. Let's go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center.
Planning and investing insight from a fee-only fiduciary. You're listening to Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Amazon versus Walmart. Very interesting that there is no official published single number one item bought on Amazon. We can all have our own guesses, look at our purchase history maybe, but do you think you know what the number one searched for item is on Amazon?
Well, I know what I always search for, which is basically batteries. It seems like I'm always looking for like double A's, triple A's, things like that.
You'd think it'd be like chargers or batteries, sure. But the Kindle is currently top searched product. Are people still using a Kindle?
Are we sure that Amazon isn't planting that, being like, hey, everybody else is looking for an Amazon Kindle. You should be too.
It topped the Amazon searches with 2,313,297 searches in the past 30 days. Mm. So that's the number one search for item.
No, another thing that I always search for is customer support. Because they make it almost impossible to talk to anybody.
Oh, yeah.
If you have an issue, need a refund. I'm surprised that's actually not the number one search, customer support.
And moving on to Walmart, they do have public information on the number one most purchased item. What do you think that is?
Oh, gosh. So at Walmart, I'm usually looking for diet ginger ale. That's my favorite beverage.
I think that's a niche market.
It might be.
Not as popular as bananas, which is the number one bought item.
Bananas are. Yeah. Interesting. Well, they did come out very early after the tariffs were imposed that we talked about at the top of the show, how bananas that we import to the United States, there's the 15% tariff. And Walmart was one of the first ones to say that we are not going to eat the cost of the bananas, right? We need to pass this on. Retail, especially groceries, very thin margins. And so that was one of the areas where you saw that pass through to the consumers pretty quickly.
Well, and a few months ago, we were talking about it on this show. It was coffee, bananas, and tariffs. That was all kind of lumped in that group.
It was. And that's one of the reasons why late last year, President Trump announced that for those types of items that everybody sees and we can't really make in the United States, where do we grow bananas at scale? Where do you grow coffee at scale? And those he would then exempt from tariffs. So we have seen a little bit of relief there. And it's just interesting between Amazon and Walmart, the way that they are battling with each other. Like if you think about how you started with Amazon, you know, they now have more revenue than Walmart. 20% of their revenue comes from Amazon Web Services, which is their data service. So it's not necessarily just from selling books, which is what they started with, or even with retail. Whereas Walmart, 60% of their revenue comes from groceries. But now Walmart is getting into the digital space in terms of with their online sales. Those grew 20% year over year. So they're seeing really rapid growth there.
I don't think I've ever gotten a banana from Amazon, have you?
I have not, no.
Okay. If you have a question, there is an Ask Annex button right at the top of the page at annexwealth.com. We've gotten questions on retirement milestone ages, taxes, estate planning, selling gold. The answers to all of those questions are in quick video form on our social media, or if you'd like us to answer it on the show, we're happy to do that as well. Talk to us in person, too, at Annex, someone that has seen all kinds of situations and is happy to offer guidance, especially during the tax filing season that we are in right now. The Get Started button at annexwealth.com is where you can get connected with us, along with our client section if you're already on board. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Money Talk is straight talk from a local fee-only fiduciary. It's time to know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. So a new $6,000 tax deduction for adults age 65 and older is set to increase refunds for millions of Social Security recipients. So this is the senior bonus deduction, which was created under the recent tax legislation, helping retirees facing rising everyday expenses. So with eligibility tied to age, income, and filing status, many older Americans might benefit from this if you know the rules and how to claim it. Here to help us walk through it, Director of Financial Planning at Annex Wealth Management, Eric Strom. Thanks for being on the show, Eric.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it.
So who qualifies for this new $6,000 senior deduction, because this is kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal. Now, how many times last year did you hear the phrase no tax on Social Security?
Oh, yeah. All kinds of articles and social media things about that.
Right, right. So there was that, you know, campaign promise, and we just heard it endlessly in the news and everything. Now, what was interesting is the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, OBBBA, that was passed last year over the summer. It made many changes. One of the changes, though, it could not make was making Social Security tax-free, because it was passed by budget reconciliation, which is a process that can never make changes to Social Security. That's just a rule. What was done instead is a senior deduction was created in lieu of actually making Social Security tax-free. And we want to make sure everyone understands the senior deduction because, like you said, it's a big deal.
How does income affect the size of this deduction?
Yeah, income, and really more generally, who qualifies for this, right? It's important to know that getting this deduction has nothing to do with whether you've started your Social Security benefit or not. That is a big misconception. The only thing that you have to do to get this deduction is just be 65 or older by the end of the year. It's that simple. If you're 65 and older by the end of the year, you're getting this temporary $6,000 deduction. I say temporary, we'll come back to why it's temporary, but it's a $6,000 deduction for anyone who meets that age requirement, whether or not you've started Social Security. You asked about income too. This does have a phase out. So if your income is getting a little bit higher, if you're single, it's over $75,000. If you're married, $150,000, then you are going to start losing this deduction. So it becomes a new phase out that you have to navigate as you're doing your proactive tax planning.
Can seniors claim it alongside the standard deduction or maybe some itemized deductions?
So what's neat about this is you do not need to be itemizing in order to get this deduction. It's just going to be plainly available to anyone regardless of whether you're having that choice. All of us have the choice. Do I take the standard deduction or do I itemize? This supersedes all of that. You're going to get it as long as you meet that requirement of age.
And how much could the average Social Security recipient gain from it?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So $6,000 might not sound like a lot, but first of all, if you're married, it is, we're both getting it as long as you're both 65 and older. So there's that factor. But understand that this is a reduction of your income by $6,000 per person. That's a big deal because it really is just going to overall reduce how much income you have that's subject to tax in the first place. And there's sort of some downstream consequences of that as well. Now, I will say, you know, this deduction is not going to be around forever the way it's written now, but there's already bills out that may extend it. But I will say that can really save a significant amount of tax. And it also creates more room, if you will, in these lower brackets, which you can proactively use. So hopefully, if you're listening to this, hopefully you're working with a financial planner that's doing proactive tax planning for you. We're such big believers in that. Would we love that you get it from Annex? Of course. But even my bigger belief is just, I think you should be getting it from somebody, because a lot of times people are not making mock-up tax returns later in the year to see how are they on track, right? This kind of proactive planning can help you make sure you're leveraging the senior deduction. You may want to create income on purpose that is being offset by this deduction, as one example, if your income is quite low.
And you mentioned that it's temporary. Maybe we come back to that a little bit, but how long will this deduction be available?
Right now, under current law, it's only available for four tax years, 2025, 26, 27, and 2028. After 2028, it's over under current law. Now, we always say tax law is always changing, and it's very possible that the senior deduction could get expanded or it could get permanently, you know, extended and all that good stuff, but we don't know. Under current law, we've got it for 4 years, and you want to make sure you're leveraging it for those 4 years.
Well, and that's per year, so that's $24,000.
Per year, per spouse.
Yeah. What should seniors do now to make sure that they don't miss out? So if they're working with a tax planner, what questions should they ask?
Yeah, the biggest central thing to ask yourself is, last year, there were a lot of tax law changes. Did you have a financial advisor or a financial planner who made a mock-up tax return for you? In other words, did someone sit down with you in September, October, November last year and say, okay, I did your taxes early here in advance to see how you're doing and what strategies can we do? Now, unfortunately, a lot of people are not getting that service. So there's no way to proactively leverage your senior deduction if you're not doing tax planning to start with. I really encourage you to make sure you're getting tax planning done. Once you've finished your tax preparation for earlier in the year, make sure that you are finding a tax planner. If you don't have one, you can always visit us, shameless plug, at annexwealth.com and click on the Get Started button. We'd be more than happy to have a complimentary meeting with you and show you how you can make sure you're leveraging this deduction and everything else that there is within tax.
Yeah, we have some leading edge technology here. Mock projections, something we love to do for our clients here. And he is the Director of Financial Planning, Eric Strom at Annex Wealth Management. Thanks again, Eric, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Click that Get Started button, like Eric said, at annexwealth.com.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite, Annex Comprehensive Wealth, Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, thanks for being with us on Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. This show is also a podcast on demand as soon as our show is over at the top of the hour. And if you are currently a client or thinking about making the switch, take a look at our very active YouTube channel. It can certainly give you a good idea of how we build content every day to help you stay informed. And the Annex LinkedIn page with the latest financial trends, events we have coming up, and also the Axiom. That is our newsletter where you'll always have our Week in Review video from this show in your email on Sunday morning. Just search Annex Axiom. Other podcasts too, like The Wealthiest, Ideas, Strategies, and Decisions of the Wealthy in America, and the SWOT podcast, Strengths, Weaknesses, Opportunities, and Threats of the Current Market, with a new episode with that every Monday morning, wherever you get your podcasts. Chief Economic Strategist Dr. Brian Jacobson is here, and CEO of Annex, Dave Spano.
Yes, thanks, Joe. You know, Brian, we're about three quarters of the way through earnings season, and it's been pretty good. Earnings growing at more than 12% year over year, and sales are growing about 9%. most of the sectors have done pretty well. But you know, you always learn a lot about some of these brands when the analysts cover them and we get a report. For example, Toll Brothers, who caters to higher-end buyers, saw that it's notable that they're seeing some weakness.
Yeah, that was interesting because a lot of people have been talking about this K-shaped economy, which I think is a little bit of an exaggeration. But it's the idea that higher-income individuals are the ones who are propelling the economy faster. It's the lower-income individuals that are struggling. And even in some of those higher-income areas, like Toll Brothers, they said that there's still price sensitivity. They're having to make price concessions. They're not seeing as many orders as what people maybe otherwise were thinking. So nobody's really immune from where rates are higher than where they were just 10 years ago. Also, some of the higher inflation that we're having, slower wage gains. But it is incredibly important to remember that they're still spending, right? Wage gains are still outpacing inflation across all of those different income cohorts. I know a lot of people are thinking about that letter K with the idea that that downward leg is that people are actually losing purchasing power relative to their incomes. And that's not necessarily true. Individuals certainly might be, but from a macro perspective, so the big picture, people, real income gains are still positive across those cohorts. So there's maybe a little difference between perception and reality.
Sitting around on the couch thinking about what you're going to have for dinner is always an interesting thing. And so wings and beer, right? Made some news this week. We saw reports from both Wingstop and Molson Coors.
Yeah, and I absolutely love these two reports because I think they give you a really interesting picture about the health of the consumer and also changes in
consumer. The health of the consumer is not so great though, Brian, if they're going to sit around and drink.
If they're eating, that's true. Eating wings and drinking beer isn't the healthiest choices maybe, but everything in moderation. And maybe people have given it up since we are in the season of Lent. I don't know. But in terms of Wingstop, their shares rose after they had better than expected results because analysts were expecting a big decline in sales of about 6.7%, but it wasn't nearly as bad as feared. Part of the reason why they've seen this decline is just in terms of the demographic of who they typically cater to, tends to be a little bit lower income, a little bit younger. They're the ones who are perhaps having, you know, a little bit more financial struggles now. Interestingly, even they are adopting artificial intelligence. Not to say that some AI robot is going to be making your chicken wings, but they are using it to improve the efficiency of their ordering process. So instead of using paper-based ordering, switching to what they call a smart kitchen, where it involves more automation and some of the artificial intelligence that's out there. And then Molson Coors, their shares are down because younger generations just aren't drinking as much as what older generations are, apparently.
And same thing with the Harley Davidsons. They're not riding the motorcycles.
That's right. Exactly. And so if you think about like Molson Coors, Harley Davidson, their sweet spot for consumers, typically a little bit higher income, older baby boomers. What about the next generation? You know, where's the growth engine for them in the future? Harley, they announced that they're going to be trying to launch a more entry-level vehicle, maybe to cater towards entry-level shoppers. And Molson Coors, they're shifting towards some of the no alcohol or alternative ones where I think, aren't they like imbued with like THC or something like
that? The mocktails too.
Yeah, the mocktails. Yep. Yeah. So that's kind of the growth area for them.
Better be careful drinking that THC, Brian. Some of those economist jokes will come flying out, I'm sure.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I'm not sure that I would actually want to try any of them. I haven't tried one yet. Nobody that I'm friends or family with have really told me much about them.
Oh, I tried one.
Are they?
Yeah, it wasn't a good idea.
Joe, that's going on your
that's going in the HR file, right? But I also, aren't they more expensive as well? And I'm a bit of a cheapskate.
Yeah, they are expensive.
All right. And then lastly, John Deere saw some good numbers, boosted its annual profit outlook. It's anticipating this upturn in the agricultural economy. And so we saw a move in John Deere as well.
Yeah, which I absolutely love following John Deere just because of their global footprint. And, you know, growing up, my grandparents, they were farmers, dairy farmers and that. And so always saw the, you know, the John Deere tractors out there. And finally, they are expecting that there is going to be a reinvestment with agricultural equipment. If you think about with COVID, there was a lot of money made available. There was a big product upgrade for a lot of farmers, and that can last a while, right? How often do you need a new combine or a new tractor? But now you're getting to the point where people are willing to upgrade the equipment. There's some tax incentives in there as well. So they are expecting to see a boost with both their construction lines and with the small agricultural equipment.
This is where I'm going to have you take off your PhD hat and put your law degree hat back on and have a bit of a disclosure, because, folks, when we're talking about individual companies, that does not mean we're promoting them, Brian. Is that correct?
Oh, that is correct. So we're just talking about the companies and kind of what's interesting, what's the information we can glean from them about the economy, the outlook, consumer sentiment, also investor sentiment. And so we're not making any recommendations about whether or not it's a good idea to buy these companies. It's more about what's going on with the fundamentals. And really, if you kind of think about it in terms of our investing approach, it is about understanding the fundamentals and then making the investment decision based upon not just the fundamentals, but how much do you pay for those fundamentals with the valuation. So we haven't really gotten into that at all. And that's the type of thing that we do on the investment committee, on the investment team, day in and day out.
And if you're not getting that kind of insight, folks, from your current relationship, there is a way that you can participate. Isn't that right, Joe?
That's right. Click that Get Started button at annexwealth.com. That's how you can talk to us in person at one of our 9 locations. Another episode of Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. If you missed it, it's always available in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts, actually available right now on the radio station website as well. Just search Annex Money Talk. For Dave Spano and Dr. Brian Jacobson, I'm Joe Crown. Have a great week. Join us again next Saturday at 10 a.m. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Advice and opinions expressed during Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, are solely that of the hosts or guests of Annex Wealth Management and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.